right. Today we're going to speak on the new year, 2024. Kind of hard to realize how these years are clicking by. It used to be that I just couldn't wait for another year to get by so I could be another year older, so I could be old. And then I got old, and now they just zip right on by. Well, introduction, I just like to mention, you know, that people look at New Year's Day differently. Some look at it as just another day. I don't know how many of you just say, well, it's just another day. And some of us look at it as an opportunity to turn over a new leaf, as some might say. Well, I kind of look at it, it is just another day, because you realize that every day is an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Every day that you wake up, it is an opportunity from God himself to you to be able to do something special for eternity. I don't know how you look at that, but I do know that a lot of folks, when the new year comes around, take things a little more seriously. You know, maybe it's because we do taxes. Oh, all that paperwork. We're wrapping up for the end of the year, right? And we're going like, oh, look at all the things I've forgotten. Boy, wouldn't it have been a lot easier if I'd been more organized. And boy, you know, I ran out of time to do this, and I just totally forgot. And here I am trying to scramble to get things wrapped up. Next year I'm going to be more organized. Or you looked in the mirror and you go like, next year I'm going to do this and I just want to turn over a new leaf. Well, a fellow once said this, last year for the new year, I decided to turn over a new leaf. And guess what? I found bugs under it. So anyway, I don't know how you look at a new year, but I hope that it will be an encouragement to you to just realize that God has given you another opportunity to live another day for eternity. So why do people celebrate New Year? Why do people seek to turn over that new leaf? Well, I put down some thoughts that I had. And the first one is, well, last year, however it was for you, just didn't seem to meet its potential. How many of us would kind of sigh with that? Like, you know, there is more that I could have probably done last year that would have been more beneficial. Maybe some of it was I tried, but, you know, now that I know what I know, hindsight's what? 2020, you know, so we always look back on that and we're going like, but this year I'm going to plan to do better. Many folks, they want to make the most out of life and they want this year to be the best that it can be. Maybe they want to lose weight or make better use of their time or to break a bad habit or to facilitate some other constructive improvement in their life. The list could go on and I could ask you and we could have all kinds of answers today. But the fact is that we're going to build on today, and it's a spiritual, a biblical fact, is that what we do has consequences. So what choices we make for this new year, we're going to see and reap the fruit from it. A young man who was ill-prepared, he was a college student who had been goofing off during the Christmas season, and he hadn't done any of his studies. He was taking an exam just before Christmas vacation. Frustrated by his lack of knowledge, he wrote on the test paper, "Only God knows these answers to these questions. Merry Christmas." The professor grading the paper wrote, "God gets 100, you get a 0. Happy New Year." Now, I just couldn't resist sharing that with you, know, because that's what it is. God's given every one of us the same opportunity as far as he's given us a day. And what we do with that is up to us. Christmas, in review, was the season to gain understanding of the Savior. It's an opportunity to get to know God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. That's what his name means. He is the Savior of the world. You see, he came to redeem mankind. He came to dispel the idea that the devil had cast about, that God doesn't care about us and he wants to judge us and he's just keeping up in heaven, keeping notes for ways to judge you. But the angels came and gave a different message to the shepherds. They said that it was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Remember that? We learned that during Christmas time, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you see, to fulfill the law as a man so that he could die in our place and pay our penalty for having broke the law. How many of us have broken God's law? Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's a common condition that we all had, and there was no way that we could fix it or remedy the situation and make ourselves perfect enough for heaven. So God sent his Son, who became a man, 100% man, and lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law and then died in our place. Now, Not only was Jesus 100% man, he was what? He was 100% God. Why is that important? Because he could die for all mankind, not just one. And so God has died for all, as you I have said. Last year he was kind of paying the cashier's check. He was purchasing that gift certificate or whatever, that eternal life for you and for me. It's been paid for. It's been purchased. It's been bought. It's been given. The only thing that needs to be done is it needs to be received. How many of you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior? How many of you have consciously been aware that you needed to, that you were a sinner, and that you couldn't earn your way to heaven and receive Jesus as your Savior? I hope that you do so today if you have not. That's what Christmas was about, God's Son coming to earth. And I hope that your hope for heaven is Jesus Christ and nothing else. Some people say, well, I believe that Jesus died for us, but I got to earn in my way to heaven by good works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What if I give money to the church? Well, if you give money to the church, I don't know what church you're giving it to, but I hope that they use it for godly work, but it won't get you to heaven. See, there's only one thing that'll get you to heaven. That's found in John 14:6. Jesus said to Thomas and to his disciples that were asking the question, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Matter of fact, I want you to know this. If you're going to try to earn heaven by good works or money or any other things, like some people think they'll get to go to heaven because they are a certain race or of a certain family or of a certain religion, all of those will not get you to heaven. God says it's only through Jesus Christ. And so I want you to trust in Jesus and him alone. Don't offend him by saying, Jesus, I'm going to help you. You couldn't make it sufficient. Your death wasn't enough. I have to do more. No, how about you just say, Lord, I accept what you've done. And now because of what you've done for me, I want to do for you. And just live your life in joy and serving the Lord, which we're going to look at here for this new year. I'm going to be talking basically to Christians now. Those who haven't trusted Christ, the gift is there for you. Will you receive it? Those who have received it, here's the special hope for New Year. It's time to set some new goals. It's always been said that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I learned that that was true. When I was a teenager, I had a bow and arrow. You ever have a bow and arrow? I had a recurve bow. I had a friend that had a recurve bow, had it all set up, and a recurve, you know, it doesn't have the compound pull to it. And I had the practice field arrows, you know. They'd have the metal tip, but it's not razor sharp. And so we would practice with that. So I got this idea. I wonder how high you could shoot an arrow. And so I shot the arrow straight up as high as I could shoot it. And the moment I released the string, I realized this was a bad idea. Because now the arrow was coming down, but who knows where. And I figured it would have enough speed by the time it came down for that tip to maybe do more damage than I really wanted it to. And so it's like the dodge game. You aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. You're playing a pretty dangerous game in life when you don't plan what your choices and actions are going to be. So with that in mind here, we have this New Year's resolutions people talk about. But I want to take you to the alphabet chapter in the Bible. Anybody know where the alphabet chapter is? Psalm 119. Okay, we talked about that last week, so I'm just seeing how many could remember that. Psalm 119. We're going to be in the first verses, so you can go to Psalm 119, verse 1. The reason I have to say that is because my Bible has like multiple pages of Psalm 119. It's the largest chapter in the Bible. Okay, Psalm 119, the alphabet chapter. In Psalm 119, the psalmist here, not only is he putting things in alphabetical order and going through the Hebrew alphabet to encourage you, you know, A stands for this or B stands, now that's our alphabet, but you could say, you know, A stands for all must be saved, B stands for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We can put it together in a spiritual song, but he did it in the Hebrew, and the very first verses that we're going to look at here in just a minute, oh, well, let's look, read them now. It said, blessed, Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity and they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Because then Shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments? And I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned of thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. The psalmist is realizing that life is best in God. How many of you realize that? Life goes best when you're walking with God, when you're following his principles. Even people that don't believe in God, if they follow his moral practices, have a better society, they have peace, and they have joy. Those who refuse to follow Jesus Christ and follow other gods, have you ever noticed what some of the other religions do to society and to the world? It becomes a place of gloom and despair and darkness and no progress, and all knowledge disappears and it becomes a place of fear. But in Jesus Christ, he teaches us the golden rule to love, to go on to others as you would have them to do to you, right? It teaches to love your neighbor as yourself. And just following those moral principles makes a society 100% better. But I just want us to know it's just not a list of morals. This is a God who is good. This is a God who is love. And he wants to share that with us so we can have the joy in our hearts. So the psalmist makes it very clear. He says, you know what? I know that God and his ways are best. I want that in my life for this year. And so I'm going to determine to do some things that are very important in my life, and that is to follow him. Now, how many of you have realized that if you don't want to do something, it's very hard to see it get done? How many of you noticed that your kids, when they don't want to do something, make it very difficult to see it get done? Or your grandkids. Now, I have fun with the grandkids because, you know, they're not your kids, and you can send them home to the parents to correct them, and, you know, that's kind of neat because when you're a parent, you're the mean guy, right? And the grandkids are great. You know, those are special people. And they probably are going to say, like, Grandpa, you're always talking about us in the service, huh? But grandkids are great. But believe it or not, even grandkids have a will. And sometimes they look at Grandpa or Grandma and go, like, I want this. Or they might say words like, I don't want to. You know what? They're just like adults. My adult friends look at me sometimes and say, but I want to. Or they go, but I don't want to. Hey, we're all in the same boat, right? So for the new year, what you do probably will be more of what you want to than what you don't want to. And so the psalmist uses a word, or two words actually, that make the whole message. And these words are, I will. All right? So I want to just put this. You will do in 2024 what your heart really wants to do. You're going to say, no, Pastor, I'm stuck in a lot of things I don't want to do. I know that. That's part of life. People bring things in our lives that can make it difficult. Circumstances happen. There's lots of trials. However, you still will be guiding your life based upon what your will is. Correct? So the psalmist has already said that he wanted his life to follow God's ways, because that's best. How many of you agree? I want my life to follow God's ways because I know that's where the blessings are. I know that that's what's best. I know that's what's best for society and everything about. How many, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many are agreeing with me? And so with that in mind, what will you do? And so he says, I will. So here we go. Are you ready? Let's take a look at some of the things the psalmist says, I will. Verse number 7 says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Right off the bat, the first thing you need to do is praise the Lord. I put down some things. Well, how do you praise the Lord? Well, I know some things that aren't praise. How about complaining all the time? If you complain all the time, are you going to be joyful? You know, if I complain one more time, I'm going to find joy. How many times do you have to complain before you become happy? Those are goofy questions, Pastor. I don't think that works. Then why are we complaining? If it doesn't work, we need to forsake that and start doing something else. And he says, you know, I will praise thee. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be joyful. And by the way, didn't the Bible say, again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so another one I put down here, rather than covet, I can be content. Does that have to do with praise? You say, well, what does that have to do with praising God? Well, if you praise him for what he's given you, you're content. If you're wishing you had something else, we start to covet. That's complaining. I'm no different than anybody else. Sometimes I look across the way at people around me, and they have fancier vehicles than I do. You ever see someone with a nicer vehicle or maybe a bigger house? Or they have something that, boy, it'd sure be nice to have that. And the problem with that is there's nothing wrong with going, like, it'd be nice to have that. If I worked as many hours as them, I might be able to get it. But I have priorities in my life that are important to me. And I have to understand, am I satisfied with what God provides in my life for Him? Or am I going to complain? And so I will praise Him by thanking Him for what He has, for being content with what He has given me. And then rather than being contrary and self-willed, we can cheerfully follow God's will. I have a little note here, and it pulled me aside, because as I was meditating on the message this morning, this came to my mind. And I put this little statement, we will base our will on what we think we know. And I was going to share that with young people. They decide what's best for them because they know it's best. Have you ever had a young person like, I know this is best, and as an adult, you're just kind of grinning? And I was just picturing this with God. God knows best, even when I think I know best. And so I need to go ahead and line my will with His and based upon what I know from Him and move along that way. So I will praise Thee is what the psalmist said. Praise has to do, and I looked up the word, it had to do with raising of our hands in respect to the one that we're amazed by. Did you get that? How many of you have thought about that in praise? This is what the word means in the Bible. It means praise has to do with raising our hands in respect to the one whom we're amazed by. It's kind of like wow, did you see what He did? That's awesome. So if I come up to one of you and I'm going like, did you see what God just did for me? That's praise. I am in awe at what He's done. Now, I was talking in the adult Sunday school class today about being thankful for what God has done and recognizing what He's done. And I had a question that I asked, and it was this. If I was to call on you right now, could you list off a bunch of things that God has done for you? There's a lot of Christians walking around all molly grump because God never does anything for them. And as I was thinking about that this morning, as I was in prayer and then for the message, I'm going like, you know what? God does good things for everyone. I should back up. Not the same things for everyone, but He does wonderful things every day for everyone, including those that aren't saved. So a person who can't think of anything that God has done doesn't have a very close walk with God. They're taking it for granted. And so if you can't think of anything that God has done for you, you're all mully-grumped and depressed because you've never taken the time to look. Now, I was also thinking this morning that as a dad and a grandpa, when all the people are at my house, and I like them one family at a time, but if they all come over, I love that too. It's just hard for me to keep up with everybody and to spend time with them all. So I get more time when they come a few at a time. But sometimes the kids are all just playing, and grandpa's just sitting there watching. And you know what? They aren't sitting there going like, wow, Grandpa has heat in his house for us. They're not going like, wow, Grandma has spent, you know, hours cleaning this house so it's clean and making pies and all this stuff for us to eat. It's just, oh, that's a good meal. Right? They're not going like, oh, it's nice, Grandpa paid his electric bill. We have lights. And we have toys. How many of the kids ever think about all those things about what Grandpa or the parents have provided? But how many of you as parents have sat there and relished in the fact that they're all peaceful and happy and every need is met and that they're good? You know what? I think God does the same thing. When we're going through life, when we're understanding that all our needs are met and we're just comfortable, He's pleased with that. But He's even more pleased when we notice where it came from. So, as we walk through, God has been good, right? But let's spend a little more time in showing Him praise. And praise is raising our hands in respect to the one that we're amazed by. When's the last time you're going, wow, God, that was awesome. Now let me move on. Isn't God wonderful? Thus, the more the psalmist studied God's word, it says, the more that he wanted to praise Him. So how many of you feel that this year could be better? Could have been better, or this year could be better than last, by spending more time in God's word and in praising Him? Because that's what the psalmist is saying in these first verses. I spend time in God's word, and the more I spend in God's word, the more I notice what He does, and the more I'm amazed, and the more I praise Him. How many of you agree? I could spend more time this year than last. And so sometimes people make a resolution. and say, I will do this. And by the way, if you want a Bible reading schedule, I can get you one, but I encourage you to do this. I encourage you to get up in the morning and read your Bible before you go to your work day and read it until you get something. If you get something for your day in one verse, so be it. If it takes you 15 verses, so be it. If it takes you a couple chapters, but read until you get something. And I'm going to encourage you to start in a place more like John or Proverbs or Psalms rather than Ecclesiastes or something like Lamentations, or I'm just trying to think of some of the books with all the law. Okay, now I encourage you to read through your Bible, but read in the New Testament too as you're going through the Old so that you can get some encouragement because you need something for your day. Now the Old Testament will tie in, but if you get into the begats, that might be a dry day, okay? What did you learn for your day? So-and-so begat so-and-so. Well, that's going to be a hard one to apply in the day, right? So you get the idea. Now, all of that has its value, but you really have to study that out to get it. So I'm encouraging you, read your Bible, not to necessarily get through, though I encourage you to keep reading through your Bible, but read to get something for your life. Now, the second I will, what else did he say he would do? Well, in verse 15, Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 48, well, I'm tying these together. That's so we have time. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. In verse 78, it says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dwell perversely with me without cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. So what's he going to do? He said, I will meditate in God's word, thy precepts. I looked up these words because I think the psalmist lists precepts, statutes, commandments, all judgments, testimonies. You ever look up all those words? Because they all mean something different. They're close, but they mean something different. I'm going to share just the ones we're looking at today. But he said, I'm going to meditate. And by the way, everybody understands what it means to meditate. Maybe I should share that. The Bible, when it talks about meditating, is to recall something that you got from God that morning and then continually think on that. Mull it over in your mind. It works best if you memorize it because now you really have it. It's kind of like a cow chewing its cud, okay, so we know how that works. When they have time to sit and rest or later on, they'll bring that back up and chew on it. So bring back up God's word. If you don't start with God's word in the morning, how can you meditate on it in that day? Some people say, I'll read it in the evening. Okay. You got a better memory than I, but I would write it down if I did my Bible in the evening so that in the morning I could at least review that for the day. But as I move along, the precepts means this. A precept is a mandate or commandment. Okay, everybody knows what a mandate is. It's what God says we need to do. So he says, I'm going to meditate on it. What does God want me to do? If he says to love my neighbor as myself, okay, that comes into play when my neighbor backs over my flower garden, you know, on his way out to work. Or the dog of the neighbor comes over and chews up your favorite cactus plant or whatever. Well, I'm glad he took the cactus, right? But you get the idea. The mandates are what God says I should do. Now, it was interesting because I looked up his statutes. And statutes means tasks that are to be performed or a law that is done at a certain time. In other words, you tell your family, I want you home by, I want you to have the room cleaned up by, and you set a time. Why do people need time limits? Because I didn't mind what my parents had for me to do as long as there was no time limit, because I was going to do it tomorrow. There's too much truth to that. But I think we're all that way. Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? Well, that's not very biblical, Pastor. I know. Terrible I even said it, but that's our normal mindset. I can get that later. God says, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Why? Because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. And so that's exactly what this word means. Precepts are what God says to do. Statutes are to do it when he says. What time should I get saved? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The moment that you understand you need to be saved, you're to get saved. Don't put it off. When God tells you you need to put something, change it in your life, that means today. In other words, at the end of the service, or right even before the end of the service, if God said something in your life that needs to be changed, what do you do? You give it to him and say, okay. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'll do that as soon as I get this, or I will quit that as soon as this comes into my life, or I'll do this. No, wait a minute. We do it when who says? How many of you have noticed how quickly work gets done that your kids set the time for? I want you to do this. I'll get that tomorrow. All right. So we're God's kids. When God says to do it, when should we do it? Right away. So I got to move along here. But thus it says, I will reflect on what God says I should be doing right now. And so what does God want you to be doing with your time? And I guess we should stop there and say, what does God want you doing with your time? Is what God wants you to be doing the same as me? Some of you, some of the things are. Like, God wants us to be telling others about Christ, right? Does that go for you guys too, or is that just the pastor's job? It's everybody's job. However, some of you have jobs that I don't. My job is not to take care of, you know, grain. My job is not to process meat. My job is not to cut hair. I would like to try that sometime, you know, if I get enough guinea pigs to see what would happen. But I wouldn't get paid probably very much. But there's people here that that's their job, and they do it very well. But that's not my job. So I have a job, and you have a job that God has given to us as our plan for our life. We need to do it with all of our might. And so what is God's plan for you? And then let me ask you this. Have you been doing it? Or do you need to do some changes for this year so that we can do it more efficiently and more of what God wants? Because I know that you're all busy. If I was to ask you how many of you are busy, everybody would say, oh, I'm swamped. But is it with what God wants you doing, or with what you want to do, or what other people are pushing on you? It needs to be what God wants you to do. So let's go on. Number 3, verses 16 and 93. Okay, let's back up to 16. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You guys know what statutes are, right? So we got that. Let's go over to 93. He said, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Okay, there's two key words. I will delight, because God quickens me in his statutes and his precepts. I already talked about those two things. So it's what he's saying is, if I do what God wants me to do, he quickens me. Now, what's it mean to quicken? It means to speed you along. It means to give life. He makes it passionate. He makes it worthwhile. How many of you ever have to do stuff that's just gloomy? Now, sometimes as you serve God, some of the things we have to do are just plain work, like cleaning the grain bins, some of those icky tasks. Nobody wants to do them. That's for the guy that's new on the job, right? Go in there and do this. So God has some of those things that need to be done, but as we live for him and we realize who we're doing it for, doesn't that make it more exciting? And so I'm going to move along here too. Oh, let me put the read my notes here. Thus, I will rejoice in doing godly things. Now, do you try to live godly, or do you try to get by with sin? No, that wasn't fair. I was good along going with you, Pastor, when you said we need to be excited about doing godly things. But when you said there that sometimes I try to get by with not doing what God wants, that makes me feel uncomfortable. That makes me look kind of bad. But how many of us do that? How many of us know what God wants us to do, so we try to make excuses and, you know, put it off until we don't have time to do it, remember? And we're kind of going like, well, I would do that, but... This is where God's saying, the psalmist is saying, I realize that if I put away the butts and got rid of the billy goats, if I get rid of the billy goats and the butts, I can rejoice because God now gives me a vibrant life because I'm actually doing what I want to. How many at the end of the day are glad that you've done some of those dirty jobs, but you got them done and now things are better? Nobody likes to clean up the bathroom. Nobody likes to clean the dishes. But isn't it nice to have a kitchen that's all organized and ready to go? My cousin and I, we used to have a business together. We had a car repair garage. And Monday through Friday, we worked from beginning of business hours or before beginning of business hours till sometimes 10, 11 at night. That's just part of having your own business, right? You know, the employees go home, but you stay. Trying to get all the jobs done. By Friday, it's like, have you seen the torque wrench anywhere? And have you seen the die grinder? Have you seen... Yeah, how many of you ever noticed that your shop, the tools are everywhere? And it's just like, I spend more time looking for tools. So we made it the deal that we would come in on Saturday and we wouldn't do any work on vehicles. We would just straighten up the garage. Why? Because it paid off. It was so much better to come in on Monday with everything where it belonged. Wasn't that awesome? Now, sometimes people come and say, can you fix my car? I had one guy come in and said, I need a brake job done. I said, I'm sorry, we just don't do work on Saturday on cars. We just can't. I'd be glad to get it for you on Monday. Is it dangerous? Well, no, they're starting to squeak. I said, well, we'll get them on Monday. I just, you know, can't do it right now, or we'll never get a day to clean up. He says, well, he said, I'll pay you more. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take your money and write your receipt that it's paid for, and I'll do it on Monday. He's like, ugh. But you have to take time, because people will fill up your time until you no longer have time to do what God wants you to do. Or we'll find excuses to do things we don't, but it is so well worth it when it's all said and done. That help? You know, it's the same for all of us. I preach it myself here more than you, but this new year, I need to be refocused on these things. Now, verse 32 is the next I will. It says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run. Well, when God fixed my heart, I can run. I would run with the grandkids there at the last few weeks before it happened, and it just wasn't fun anymore. It was like, I wasn't running with the grandkids. After my surgery, I went out there and I ran with them some. I think I might have overdone a little bit, but you know what? It worked, because my heart was working. And when our heart is enlarged in the things of God, we don't mind running with Him. It's exciting now. Now, I would much rather ride a motorcycle than run or find some poon. But you get the idea. I'm excited about doing things when our heart is right. And I want to encourage you with that in the Psalm, verse 32. Do you enthusiastically live for the Lord? Now, number five, we're running out of time and I'm running out of points. But verse 46 said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. Oh, boy. How many of us are ashamed to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? This encourages me. I have to, like I've told you before, I'm a bashful person, so I have to learn Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if I tell people about Jesus, they'll get saved, right? Or have an opportunity. If I don't, my friends will never hear. And so I need to do, for this year, I need to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to tell them that they can have love. I saw advertisements for a TV commercial, and the advertisement were totally repulsive and repugnant. But it was some dating show, where it's not really a dating show. It's all kinds of immorality. But one person on this ad for this commercial was saying, this is my last chance at love. And I was going like, oh, that broke my heart, because she was serious. And I knew that since she was serious, I knew where she was going to get her hurt. And who knows where she was going to go after that. But they don't have any clue of what love is. All they know is selfishness. And they're desperate to find love. God is love. He loves you. No matter what, He doesn't love you for what He can get out of you. Matter of fact, He gave all of Him for a relationship with you. God is love, and love is sacrificial. And so I want to encourage you to tell people about Christ. As we live for Christ, our lives will be blessed. And so as I move to verse 117 will be the last one for today. There's a lot of them that you can look up. But hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Here we are wrapping it up. By the end of 2024, you can say, you know what? I walked with God, and He's held me all the way. How many of you know Footprints in the Sand, that poem? Isn't that an awesome poem? I don't know who thought that up, but I like it. Why? Because it shows the reality of life. We sit there and go like, God, where are you? How many times? Yes, life is terrible. And God's all the time been carrying us. And after we look back, aren't you embarrassed? And he's saying, like, if we live 2024 for the Lord and we put Him first and remember these principles and say, I will do this, guess what? At the end of the year, we're going to say, like, man, wasn't that awesome? So let's make 2024 a year of trusting what the Bible says over what society says. Let's make 2024 a year of trusting what God says over what your fleshly desires say. And let's let 2024 be a year of trusting what God and the Bible says over what the devil says. And by the way, if you want to hear what the devil says, come back tonight. Got some pretty interesting things that are maybe eye-openers just to remind us of the adversary we face. So in conclusion, we all make mistakes, and we all have trials. That's why God gives you pastors that are men, because they make mistakes too, and they can understand. When I preach, I never point a finger. Why? Because I got three pointing back at me. I have no right. All I have a right to do is share what God says will work in your life, and I know it will, but the whole time is coming back at me. So all of us are learning God's word together. And I think that, and I hope that that makes us special and unique to come, that you might be blessed of God's word. And in 2024, we're going to all make mistakes. We're all going to face trials. But what will you do when things go bad? Here is in the words of encouragement, and I found it. When things go bad, start over. Start over with God. When you've made your plans and they've gone awry, when you've tried your best and there's no more try, when you failed yourself and you don't know why, start over. When you've told your friends what you plan to do and you've trusted them and they didn't come through, and now you're alone and it's up to you, start over. When you failed your kids and they're grown and gone, and when you've done your best but it turned out wrong, and now your grandchildren have come along, start over. When you've prayed to God so you'll know His will, and when you've prayed and prayed and you don't know still, when you want to stop because you've had your fill, start over. Now remember, start over with God. When you think you're finished and you want to quit, when you've bottomed out in life's deepest pit, when you've tried and tried to get out of it, start over. When the year has been long and success is few, when December comes and you're feeling blue, God gives a January just for you. Start over. When should I start? Now. When should I start now? The only reason I brought this up, and I found this illustration that fits it so well, is because there's some people that are of the mindset, you aren't telling me what to do. Preacher, don't get up there and say, I need to change my life. I'm going to do my way. And I'll serve God when I'm ready to serve God. But I noticed here in the Psalms that it said, you serve God according to His time frame. And if you're going to go ahead and do things your own way, you're going to pay a price for it. You're never going to get around to it. It's like a kid saying, it isn't going to happen. I'm going to do it when I'm ready. It isn't going to work. And so I found this. In order to quell a rebellion in the north of Scotland, the English king issued a proclamation that all the rebel chiefs should appear at a given place on or before the 31st of December, 1691. They were to take an oath of allegiance to the king, and those who did not appear were to be treated as outlaws, liable to execution as traitors to the crown. Although this was humiliating, it was useless for the rebels because they were small in numbers to reject. So one by one, they gave way, and all had affixed their names to the paper except for one, and that was Mac Ian. He was the leader of the smallest, yet haughtiest tribe. He did not intend, finally, to resist. In other words, he was going to come and sign. But he hoped to be the last of the Scottish chiefs to submit. So a day or two before the 31st, he started his way to Scotland. A severe snowstorm impeded his way, and he did not arrive till nearly a week after the king's messenger had returned to London. A band of soldiers immediately sought the valley of Glencoe, and Mac Ian and his followers became victims of his proud obstinacy. How many in our day hazard their souls as Mac Ian hazarded his life by refusing to obey the command of the King of Kings? You see, the devil will try to tell you, you're not rebelling against God, you're just doing it tomorrow. Folks, if God spoke to you, you must yield today. Have a happy new year. Here is a recipe for a good 2024. Take 12 whole months, clean them thoroughly of all bitterness, hate, and jealousy. make them just as fresh and clean as possible, and now cut each month into 28, 30, or 31 different parts. But don't make the whole batch at once. Prepare it one day at a time out of these ingredients. Mix well into each day one part of faith, one part of patience, one part of courage, and one part of work. Add to each day one part of hope, faithfulness, generosity, meditation, and one good deed. Season the whole with a dash of good spirits, a sprinkle of fun, a pinch of play, and a cupful of good humor. Pour all of this into a vessel of love, cook thoroughly over radiant joy, garnished with a smile, and served with quietness, unselfishness, and cheerfulness. You're bound to have a happy new year. Let's go ahead and close. And if you haven't trusted Christ as their Savior, can I encourage you to do trust Him today? It'll be the best choice you ever made, best choice I ever made. And I would say many here would say the same. If you've trusted Christ and God spoke to you today about what you should do next year or this coming year, 2024, I pray you'll make that decision today and not wait. Let's close with hymn number 249, and we'll stand and sing first, third, and the last verse. Hymn number 249.